week. And, you know, this is special because every time we don't have a Shabbat service or we're off one week, you really feel it, right? Did everybody feel it this week? Of course, last week we had this little snow problem, and we had the facility didn't have water, so the pipes were frozen. But thank God when everything thawed out, the pipes came back, and we're good. We've got water. We're in business, so to speak. But we missed our portion, the first portion of the book of Exodus, Shemot. And so now we're moving on. We're going through the Torah this year, another foundational year for us, the first five books of the Bible. And we come to the Torah portion, Vayira. And Vayira, and you'll see it on your screens, this portion is Exodus 6:2, Exodus chapter 6, verse 2 through 9:35. The Haftarah portion, which is the portion of the prophet section of the Word of God, which the rabbis have picked because it goes along with the Torah portion. I encourage you to go home and read it. Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 28, 25 to 29, 21. And this is the 14th weekly portion in our annual cycle of reading. We follow an annual cycle, as do most Jewish synagogues around the world. Some follow a triannual cycle every 3 years. We go through the first five books every year here at Karen Orr. So we are in Exodus 6:2 to 9:35. And I want to say the message will be short because I wanted to give Kira a lot of time today, right? And we're still going to give Kira a lot of time. But you know how it is when rabbis say they want to keep their messages short, right? So I'm not going to say it's going to be a short. It'll be what the Lord wants it to be, and I'm going to try not to be long-winded, but I feel like the Lord has some things to say to us today. And let's just open our hearts. Let's just prepare ourselves to hear His word and His voice. And as I said, last week's portion was Shemot, and the first one in Book of Exodus. Very pivotal Torah portion. A lot's going on, right? We see Moses and Aaron come up on the scene. Moses has this burning bush experience. Moses goes to the Pharaoh, the most powerful leader in the world. It's like going to the President of the United States now and telling him what's up, right? Hey, let my people go. This is the message. What happened? Unfortunately, the message was not heard too well by Pharaoh. I mean, he heard it, but he didn't listen, right? You know, there's a difference between hearing something and listening. Pharaoh did the complete opposite. He said he will not let them go. Why? They were too valuable to Egypt. They were too valuable to Pharaoh. It was labor for them to build all these things. The scriptures say that they built cities for Pharaoh. So the Hebrew people, which had come there 430 years before, 70 people, led by Jacob, renamed Israel, now was 2 plus million people. So 2 million people back then, just as today, is a lot of people. That's a big voting block, so to speak, right? So the Hebrew people were in Israel, in Egypt, but they were essentially slaves. And Moses was instructed by the Lord to go and to say, "Let my people go to Pharaoh. They must come out," because God had much that He had promised the people. Deliverance, a special land to go to. And the portion last week, Shemot, it ends on this low note, right? Because Pharaoh just says, pretty much, get out of here. I don't want to see you again. And so what happens is, at the very end of the portion, this is Exodus 6:1, right before our portion picks up today, God promises, the Lord promises them, "I'm going to take care of things. Don't worry." But things were looking kind of bleak. Pharaoh's heart was not turned towards the Lord and towards the people of Israel or the children of Israel. And this week's Torah portion opens up like this. I'm going to read Exodus 6:2 in Hebrew and English. Vayedaber Elohim el Moshe veyomer elav ani elo Adonai. God spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord." Now, this is really important. We can always glance and just read things and reread it and just miss things. So we're going to be talking about that today. He says, "I am the Lord." Then the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob goes on to explain to Moses and Aaron exactly what he's going to do. We're going to see that the two brothers, Aaron and Moses, go back. They're going to do a miracle, right? They're going to take the staff, Aaron's staff. They're going to turn it into a serpent. Pretty crazy. If you saw a staff turn into a serpent today, I think you'd don't pay attention. I know I would. Well, but what Pharaoh had was he had these magicians. He probably had musicians too, but he had magicians, and these magicians did exactly the same thing as Aaron and Moses did. You know that the demonic world is very powerful, in case you didn't know that. It does exist, and it's very powerful, but it always is a copycat. It's always an imitation. It's never as powerful as the one true God. So they could copy God, but they couldn't one-up God. But because, you know, God has some things that they're not going to be able to one-up. And they're coming, right? This Torah portion finishes up with the first 8 of 10 plagues. And let me tell you, we think, oh, the 10 plagues, we read about it in children's books, we talk about it during our Seder. When we say these plagues, they were devastating to the country of Egypt. Devastating. We had all the crops destroyed. We had death. We had the firstborn dying, which we'll see next Torah portion. These were not just a little fly or a gnat, you know what I mean, a couple of frogs in your bathtub. This was just all over the land of Israel. It was devastating. And we'll get into that more about Pharaoh's heart being hardened next week. But they're doing miracles in front of Pharaoh. He's not listening. They're doing all these plagues. He's not listening. Maybe he listens for a little while, but then his heart hardens again. And there's a whole bunch of commentary on that, which we're not going to get into now. But what I want to talk about today, I don't want to talk about the plagues. We all know about the plagues, and we'll get into it more next week. But there's a few things I want to focus on today. The first thing is, God says, and he re-says it, he relays to them that he has a plan. So don't fear. You know, a lot of times God gives us a plan, and we go and we execute the plan. We're so excited about it, and then what happens? It falls on deaf ears, right? And we get a little bit what? We get a little bit distraught. We get a little bit upset. We like, God, come on. You gave me all the tools. You told me what to do, and I did it, and it didn't work out. Or it didn't work out the first time, right? So we get discouraged. And I'm sure Moses and Aaron and the children of Israel were discouraged. Everything was hinging on Pharaoh saying, go ahead and go, right? Would have been so easy if Pharaoh just said that. But things don't always happen according to our plan. But believe you and me, it was happening according to God's plan. God knew what Pharaoh would do. God knew how Pharaoh would react. But what God is saying to Moses and Aaron, the children of Israel, is listen, don't lose heart. This is all part of my plan. God has a plan. And that plan is based on a covenant with the children of Israel and the land of Israel. So we're going to talk about that. Turn with me to Exodus 6:4. Exodus chapter 6, verse 4. You know, people say that you need to be reminded of things every 6 months to a year, right? Because if you're not reminded of things, you quickly forget. Okay? If you don't do things over and over, you forget. If you're not reminded about things, it just fades out of your memory after a while, your conscious memory. And what God is saying in Exodus 6:4 is, I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. God had said this before, but he's saying it now again. He's saying it now to a people that was like, what happened, God? Why didn't they listen? Why didn't this happen? He's saying, listen, remember, I've got a plan. And he's talking about the covenant that he's established with them, and that covenant is very much linked to the land. God has seen the way that the Hebrews were mistreated in Egypt, and he had a plan to bring them out and to bring them back to Canaan according to that covenant. So the covenant, this is the key here, the covenant and the land of Israel are linked. And you know, when God says something in one part of Scripture, he means it in all of Scripture, and he means it for all time. God doesn't just say things to then take it back. God doesn't just say things and then change his mind. So if he's linking the covenant with the land, then he's linking the covenant with the land now. Makes sense, right? So we have a covenant and a land. We need to understand, what is the covenant, what is the land? Turn with me to Genesis 12. We've got to go back to the original covenant that was formed between God and a man named Abram, who would later be called Abraham. Now the Lord said to Abraham, Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you will I curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The covenant was based on faith. The covenant was based on Abraham walking out of his life, walking out of the paganism that he was steeped in and his family was in, and moving towards God. And this is key. The faith always precedes the actions. We have to have faith, which will determine our actions. This is how it should flow, right? It was first based on the faith of Abraham. So the covenant begins when Abraham begins, when he moves forward in faith with God. And this is a covenant God makes with Abraham, but he makes it with his descendants after him. But it's based on the faith of Abraham. Because why? Abraham was willing to leave everything to follow God. He was willing to put the Lord above himself. He was willing to put the Lord above his life and his world. How many times, don't raise your hand, do you not put the Lord above yourself? How many times do I not put the Lord above my creature comforts, my dreams, my visions, my goals? God's dreams, visions, and goals are what matters. What we need to do as followers of Yeshua is to get on board with that, right? God's got a plan for each one of our lives. It's not the plan that we have for our lives, because I can tell you, I wouldn't be in the position I am today if I chose my plan. It would have been a lot worse position. But when we choose God's plan for our life, when we follow after His plan for us, it goes well for us. We're in the Lord's will. We're working with the Lord. Abraham did that. He moved. We have to be like Abraham. We have to move when God's doing these things in our lives. But the covenant was based on the faith of Abraham. And the covenant's linked with the land. Let's look a little bit farther in. Same chapter, Genesis 12, verses 6 and 7 now. Abram passed through the land of Canaan, to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. That's why we call it Canaan. Canaanites were in the land. Verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. And later on we learn who the offspring is. The offspring is Isaac. The offspring is not Ishmael. This is a very key point. God blesses Ishmael. He blesses him, makes him great, and we see the descendants of Ishmael, the Arab peoples today, a vast and numerous and very wealthy people, right? They control a lot of the oil reserves in the world. They're in many, many countries. God has allowed them to flourish, but the covenant and the land, two things linked, are based on the promise given to Abram through Isaac. And this is therefore the Jewish people. And we have to remember that. This is the biblical point here. The land and the covenant are linked inextricably. And biblically speaking, we can't separate the covenant from the land, the blessings from the land. And this is what we have in the world today, unfortunately. What we have in the world today is people want to separate the Jewish people from the land of Israel. And this isn't a political discussion. This is a biblical discussion here. Okay? Because if God biblically says something in one place, he means it for all time. He has biblically placed the children of Israel to be in the land of Israel. The Hebrew people, the Jewish people, the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be in the land. I didn't say it. You can't quote me. You can quote the Bible. This is the thing. We have to be people of the book. We have to understand what the book says. We have to follow the Lord in this. So the covenant and the land are linked. And God reestablishes that continually throughout the Torah. He's doing it again with Moses and Aaron. He's getting ready to do what? Take that covenant people and bring them back to the land. Okay, this is all part of the plan. And let me tell you, when God has a plan, there's no Pharaoh, there's no anybody that can get in the way of that plan. We have to remember that. We have to take that and we have to hold on to that. We have to hold on to that for the people of Israel. We have to hold on to that for the Jewish people, and we have to hold on to that even individually with our lives and the plans that God has for us individually. Okay, that's the first thing I wanted to get out of the way. Make sure we, okay, check the box. Got that out of the way, right? We all know that. But there's something else I want to look at today, too. The name of the Torah portion, Vayira. The Torah portions are named after the first couple of words in Hebrew. And this is no different. So Vayira means literally, and I appeared, meaning God appeared. Let's read Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 through 3. God spoke to Moses, beginning of the Torah portion here. God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. Okay, so this is really, really important. This is a subtle thing that we miss when we read our English version Bibles. We're going to talk a little Hebrew today, all right? So, if you look at that verse and you look at the words that are used, this is the key here. The word for, the words that's used that says, I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. That word in Hebrew, those words in Hebrew, is El Shaddai. You've heard of El Shaddai before, right? El Shaddai, God Almighty, also means mighty one, most powerful. So the image we have when we see El Shaddai is the great mighty king, a great mighty God. And our God is mighty, right? He's many, many things, including a mighty God. He is El Shaddai. He says, I appeared to them, the patriarchs, your ancestors, Moses, Aaron, children of Israel, as El Shaddai, as mighty God. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. So what is that name, the Lord? Well, many of you in your English Bibles probably have that word Lord all in caps, right? L-O-R-D, all in caps. And that signifies something really, really, really important. And we're going to talk about that today. The word Lord in all caps refers to the unpronounceable name of God. Okay? The unpronounceable name of God. We also call it the Tetragrammaton. It's called many things. Many people say that word. Oh, we say Lord, right? That's kind of a substitute for the Hebrew word. The Hebrew word is four letters in Hebrew, and it's Yud Heh Vav Heh. Okay? Now, many people say it out loud. There's various versions of the word, okay? But here's the key. It's also called the sacred name. And there is something out there called the sacred name movement. You know, listen, we can make crazy movements out of everything, can't we? We can make movements out of peanut butter. We can make movements out of, you know, the way we brush our teeth and the way we get together on Saturday mornings. But there's a movement out there that is called the sacred name movement. And I just want to say this. There are movements and the sacred name movement, other places out there, and what their whole shtick is, what their whole thing is, we know the word. We know how to pronounce the unpronounceable name of God. Well, the point is, we don't know how to pronounce the unpronounceable name of God. And this is why in Judaism, there is such a reverence for that name, Lord, in all caps in Hebrew, Yod Heh Vav Heh. We treat it with respect. We treat it with reverence. It is the word of God, and we're going to talk about that today. But when people say, well, I know what the name really is, or I'm going to say this, or I'm going to say that, people make these denominations, like I said, out of how to pronounce the name, and that they say, well, we always have to call him this. We can't call him this. And they make a movement out of it. Like I said, people will make things out of everything. We have denominations out there that say we can't dance. We have denominations out there that say we can't do this or drink this or whatever. Listen, let's be careful what we make our denominations and our black and white issues over. We have to be very careful. And we have to also be very careful with the unpronounceable name of God, this sacred name. So in Judaism, it's not pronounced because it's so holy. We really don't know how to pronounce it. It was lost. But it is a reverence thing. Yud Heh Vav Heh. Now here's why this is so important. God is telling Moses, I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as El Shaddai, mighty God. But they didn't know me. Moses, Aaron, people now, I'm going to tell you my real name. I'm Yud Heh Vav Heh. He reveals his name to them. You may say, well, why is that such a big deal? Why can't we just call him, you know, God? Why can't we just call him, you know, Mighty One or whatever? Well, God has many names based on many attributes of himself. But this name is very, very holy. And he is saying, I didn't reveal this name. I didn't reveal myself fully to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I'm revealing myself fully to you now. This is what God is saying. Chosen People Ministries, which is a Jewish messianic ministry, has a series of videos out. They partnered with a group called One for Israel. How many of you have seen these I Am Messiah videos? They're on Facebook all over the place. They're on the internet. They're really great. If you go to imetmessiah.net, or if you go to One for Israel's website, which is an Israeli group of believers or Chosen People Ministries, which is based in Brooklyn, New York, they're doing really great work, and they're putting out these videos called I Met Messiah. And it's a series of videos. And the videos are all these Messianic Jewish leaders, Israeli, American, some of them are in Hebrew, some of them are in English, very, very famous Messianic leaders in our time. And I was watching one of the videos this week, and what the videos are is every one of the leaders, it's about a 5 or 6 minute or 7 minute video, each one, and each of the videos is the leader explaining how they came to faith in Yeshua, okay? Their experience with God, their relationship with God, with Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. And one of them I came across this week, I've just got to point it out because it fits so great with this Torah portion. So I've got to thank him for this, but this was Rabbi Dr. Stuart Dauerman, and he's out of California, and he's a prominent Messianic rabbi. He's the rabbi emeritus now, but he was in a group called Liberating Wailing Wall. He wrote some wonderful songs, and he's done so many wonderful things for our Messianic movement to further the name of Yeshua to our people. And Stuart Dauerman, Rabbi Stuart Dauerman, does this One for Israel video. And he's talking about a relationship with God. He's talking about how a relationship with God is based on experience. Now, in the Torah portion today, God was going to bring the people out of Egypt with a mighty arm and outstretched hands, right? He was going to bring them out in a powerful way because God saw their needs and he was listening to their cry and he was delivering them, okay? And they were going to have an experience with him based on their needs. This is the key part here. In the same way, and this is what Rabbi Dauerman is saying, God wants to have an experience with us. This is what he's saying in this video. God wants to have an experience with each and every one of us based on our individual needs. Okay? God wanted to have an experience with the children of Israel based on the needs that they had, which was to get out of that land, get out of that slavery, and get to the land that God promised them. So based on their individual needs, God was going to deliver and have an experience with them and reveal himself to them. Well, based on our individual needs, God wants to have a relationship and an experience with us. And this is what Rabbi Dauerman is trying to say. He is saying today to us, based on our needs, I am the Lord. He is revealing himself to us in a personal way, as Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Not like the way that he revealed himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it says in the Word. But in a new way, I'm going to reveal who I am to you. And it's based on your needs, your individual needs, and you're going to have that experience with me. Turn to Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. How are they going to know who God is? How is he going to reveal himself to them? Based on their need for him. We have to get down to our need for God, and then we have a personal experience with him where he reveals himself to us. This is the point here. The question for us today is, what are our needs? What is your need? What is my need? The living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but more importantly, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, personal relationship. That God wants to have a relationship with each one of us, not based on the needs of what your parents were, not based on the needs of what your children is, not based on the needs of your spouse or your friends or even another people. He wants to have a relationship with you and I based on our individual personal needs, just like he did it for the children of Israel, just like he personally delivered the Hebrew people. Here's what it takes. What it takes is, scripturally, biblically, it takes a crying out to him. God's not going to knock down the door unless we're ready to open it for him. It takes crying out to him. The children of Israel went down to Egypt for 430 years prior. They were beloved guests of Pharaoh. They were hanging out. They were enjoying the all the stuff that the land offered. They were like personal guests. 430 years later, very different story, right? And they were enslaved. Things had changed. And here's what God says to Moses at the beginning of all this deliverance from the burning bush. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. And what? I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. The Lord heard their cry based on their needs, and he was going to personally have a relationship with them. He's going to reveal himself to them through deliverance and through a personal experience. The thing is, the Lord wants to do the same for us today. Turn to Psalm 116. Go into the Psalms, chapter 116. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Remember, we serve the same God yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same God. It's the same Yod Heh Vav Heh that was back in the Exodus that is today. Here. Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. I love the Lord. Because why? He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. There's a connection here. The Lord is not going to reveal himself to us as Yod Heh Vav Heh. The Lord is not going to come down and have that personal experience with you unless you cry out to him, like the children of Israel did. And I'm not talking about putting on sackcloth and ashes and, you know, whipping yourself and saying, oh, God, and go down the street. I'm talking about even in the privacy of your own home, even in your prayer closet or whatever, even in your own mind. And you say, Lord, this sin is weighing me down. Lord, I can't do this myself. I need you. I'm enslaved in my sin. I need you, God, to reveal yourself to me based on my needs. Not based on the needs of my sister or brother. Not based on the needs of my spouse. But based on my needs. And you know what? Yod Heh Vav Heh will do that for you every time. He knows every single need in this room personally. I don't know every single need. Heck, I don't even know all the needs of the people in my family. You know what I mean? That's inside. They're dealing with things. I'm dealing with things. We're all dealing with things. But there's one person in this world. He happens to be the creator of the world. Yod Heh Vav Heh. And he wants to reveal himself to each and every one of us based on our situation and our personal needs. But it means we need to cry out to him. Last scripture. Go all the way to the back. This is easy to find. Book of Revelation. Chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door. Who's that? Yeshua, right? Yeshua, God in the flesh, God the Son. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Okay, keep that scripture up there for a second. If anyone, okay, cross it out in your mind and write your name in there. If so-and-so hears my voice, cries out to me and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. What does that mean? I will reveal myself to him. I will deliver them. Now, I'm not saying God's going to solve all your problems if you accept him today. I'm not saying he's going to give you health, wealth, and glory. You know what I mean? But what it does mean is he's going to deliver you from your sin. He's going to deliver you from the internal pain. He's going to give you a peace that goes beyond all understanding. He's going to give you a joy that's unspeakable. And he is going to bring you to a right place spiritually before him so that you can move with him. So that you can get in on his will for your life. Because if he knows you personally, he knows your personal needs, he also has a personal plan. We need to get past the personal needs to get to the personal plan. It's time. We got to get moving with the Lord. It takes crying out to him based on our needs, our individual needs, and being delivered. Just like the children of Israel. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Same God in the Torah that's in the New Covenant, the New Testament. And all it takes is to have a personal relationship with God, to cry out to him, to stand at the door and knock, and he is there to hear our cry. And he's there, and he is waiting to say, listen, you knew me as El Shaddai, okay? You've heard all the Bible stories. You've listened to all those things about how I'm a mighty God. But I want to reveal myself to you as Yod Heh Vav Heh today. We need to make that choice. Are we willing to cry out to him and allow him to reveal himself to us as Yod Heh Vav Heh? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you that your word is consistent, that your word is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that your word is alive for us. It's not just a dead book we can put on the shelf to collect dust. It's not just a funny or fine book of stories, Lord. It is the word. It is your words for our lives. And Lord, every Torah portion we go through, we see your deliverance. Every Torah portion we walk through, Lord God, we see your hand. We see your mercy. And it's no different today, Lord God. You are revealing yourself to your people, the children of Israel. You're calling them out. You're saying, don't listen to Pharaoh. I've got a plan for you. And I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to show you Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Well, today God wants to reveal himself to us personally. Lord, I thank you that you hear our cry, that you listen when we cry out to you, Lord God. And we thank you that you want to show us who you really are. You want to reveal yourself to us in a personal way based on our needs. You want to have that experience with us. So, Lord, we just open our hearts today. And, Lord, I just want to pray for every single person here and watching on the live stream, Lord, that you would touch them in a special way, that you would bring to the surface anything that needs to be taken and given to you, Lord God. If there's any sin or any problem or any issue that is blocking us, Lord God, from seeing you, from being having you revealed to us, Lord God, I ask, Lord God, that they would just give it up right now to you. And we thank you for dying for us, Yeshua, for cleansing us with your blood so that we can be washed clean and we can then follow after you with joy, with peace, with the freshness of heart and mind, redeemed, delivered, just like the children of Israel were redeemed and delivered, Lord. We thank you for that wonderful gift and promise that was to our people back then, and it's for us today. We thank you, Lord God, that you have revealed yourself to those, to anyone that would knock and say, I want to know more. And Lord, you're very willing to open that door up and bring us in. We thank you, God. We praise you, God, for this great gift, this great promise, and this great reveal to us. And it's in Yeshua's name that we pray all this. Amen and amen. Thank you.